James chapter number 1. All right, let's start reading verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Y'all hear that? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. So James is a Jew, of course, but he's a Jew that's been converted. He's received Jesus, accepted Jesus, and one of the brothers of Jesus. My brethren, this is what he says, though. Now, James, his character, you can see those Jewish tendencies in him, even in his writing. You can see the law and order, you know, that's received the grace of God, but yet it's filtered through this orderly lifestyle. And we can see how he kind of even brings some order to Paul's teachings about grace. But anyway, let's go to verse number 2. My brethren, listen to what he says. I love this. Catch this. I was talking about this on Sunday night. The Holy Ghost just dropped this in me. Count it all. Count it all joy. Now, if it just stopped there, we'd be all right. But count it all joy when what? When you fall into diverse temptations. Now, how am I supposed to count it joy when I'm going through various trials, temptations, when everything? How many people here like going through temptation? You woke up and just said, Lord, just tempt me today. You know, I really want to have one of those type of days when I'm going through a particular test or storm or tempt. Not too many of us. Knowing this, but this is why we can count it all joy, because we understand that what we are enduring, what we're going through, the temptation that has come knocking at our door is actually going to produce something in our lives. Y'all believe that? It's actually working something out in us. It's making us, somehow, it's going to make me better. Don't feel like it. You know, anybody in here, any of y'all that exercise, don't feel like that exercise is going to do nothing. Anybody ever had a personal trainer before? Somebody just sitting there and just, I see Sister Octavia over there. You know, if you got a really good trainer, that trainer is not always making it comfortable for you. Now, if you're just always comfortable while you're doing your exercises and you don't feel any pain, what's the saying? No pain, no
gain.
All right. So there's times that we feel as if we're under pressure. We feel temptations. We feel a struggle. But underneath that struggle is producing something within us. It's making us stronger. All right. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh what?
Patience.
All right. Now, that word patience here in the book of James, if you look that up, it would mean endurance, some endurance. Now, I took a minute here and actually looked that up before I walked in the door here, and I took a picture of it so I can tell you what that means. If I can find it fast enough, help me, Lord. All right. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty. Doesn't that sound good, to be a man that's not swerved from your purpose? You know, you started out this journey, you got a purpose in the Lord. And, you know, when we first start walking with God, we have not matured. Our strength is not there. And so there's a whole lot of things that cause us to take these temporary detours. We get knocked off track. We get off course sometimes. But over time, the Lord allows us to go through. He's not going to put more on you than you're able to bear, of course, but he allows you to go through some pressure, some temptation, because he's building up some strength. And the things that once caused you to get knocked off course, it doesn't cause you to get knocked off course anymore. Am I right? Some of the things that used to bother you so bad, it don't bother you the same way. Maybe somebody's saying something about you, talking about you, throwing you under the bus. You know, those things would just cause you to be messed up in your thinking all day long. You was mad all day long, sitting there, you know, for weeks you were just in your room crying. Didn't show up to church for 3-4 weeks because somebody didn't speak to you. But over the process of time, you begin to become made perfect, or you become more mature. All right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, read the next verse for me, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience, let this endurance, let it achieve its job. All right, verse 4, give me the translation on that, please, if you don't mind. So let it grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You will be there. You'll be able to flex on somebody. Pow. Look what, you know, you can tell. You know, when somebody's been doing what they need to do, been eating right, taking care of themselves, you know, it's something that it shows up. And even spiritually, you can tell when somebody's been taking care of themselves. You even know, don't you? You know when you've been praying, you can feel the difference. You know when you've been in your word, because we handle the trials and temptations differently when we are prayed up, amen, than we do when we are not. When we haven't been in tune with the word of God, it's a big difference. You know, we're not spiritually healthy, and so certain things are causing us to be malnourished, spiritually speaking, just malnourished, where we're just walking around weak. You know, after a while, you know, you've been saved a certain amount of time. I feel like that you ought to handle certain things a little bit differently. And sometimes I have to think to myself, I thank God for some maturity that the Lord has developed in me, because there's times that I might hear about what somebody else is going through, and I have to be intentional of having empathy for them or sympathy for them. Because just because it didn't hit me that way, you know, and it didn't even, you know, it didn't faze me at all, but that young saint in the Lord, it fazed them. And I think some of us who have grown up in the Lord, we got to recognize that just because it didn't cause you to tremble in fear doesn't mean it didn't cause them. And you know why? Because they're still, you know, they're going through, they're maturing, they're growing in the word of God. Somebody called me about something today, and I thought to myself, you know, I just kind of brushed it off. But, you know, maybe they're not there yet. Amen. But over the process of the time, the Lord is going to mature us. All right. Let's keep on going in the word of the Lord on today. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I'm doing all right. Now, y'all talk back to me tonight. Well, don't be leaving me up here hanging. Y'all kind of quiet tonight. 12. All right, here we go. Verse number 12, 4 and 12. All right. Now, what did James 1 and 2 say? Again, let me just compare this with James 1 and 2. Go back there real quick. James 1 and 2. Let me see that and then flip back over. Hold that one. Okay, my brother, count it all joy. Think about it through the lens of having some joy when you fall into diverse temptations. All right, now give me 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, somebody just talk about that for a minute. Anybody in here, God just can kind of explain this verse for the class on tonight. Anybody? Anybody? Somebody? Sister Brianna? No, not you. Anybody other than Sister Brianna? And we'll come back. Let me read it real slow for him. Beloved, beloved. Come on, baby. Sit on down on grandma's couch. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Now, let me see how many people in here have ever been through a fiery trial. Now, there's a difference between a trial and a fiery trial. Now, a trial, you know, I might have just brushed it off. But have you ever been through one of them fiery trials before? I mean, something that really you felt like you were in hot water. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. All right, Sister Brown, we'll give you a shot. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Like, don't think it's weird if things start to happen to you. You know, if you start to go through things, because that's normal. That's just what we experience as children of God.
There is. Okay, so in other words, you don't believe that it's just all prosperity over on this side. You know, every time you look up, you got another check in the mail. There's, you know, as soon as you say, yes, Lord, I'll serve you, Jesus. It means, boy, it's just like a magic carpet rolls out and then you just waltz right into heaven and you live happily ever after. No, that's not how it happens. Anybody who's been saved any length of time, you ought to know that it don't happen that way. All right. Some of you all, you got saved and maybe the day after, same night. Boy, you went through something. By the time you was in here rejoicing, I mean, speaking in tongues, I mean, tears rolling, I mean, you felt the presence of the Lord. And boy, by the time you got home and had to deal with the folks in your house, you understood that this was already going to be a suffering way. Boy, this is going to be a long road to heaven, Lord. Help me, Lord. Brother Chantel, yes, yes, sir.
I just remember going through trials. I always ask myself, why am I going through this? But just looking at the love, it's like, calm down.
Uh-huh. It is. I love how he just calls you that. Like, you know, in other words, dear children, beloved, you know, come on, let me bring you on in for a minute. Elder White, yes, sir.
We say we want to be saved, but we're partakers. And then when something happens, what did I do? What did Jesus do? I mean, that's part of suffering.
Now let me stop you there, because that's a good point you just made, and I don't want you to miss that. What if Jesus suffered? Who are we? Who do we think we are that we just gonna walk in like Jesus just does all the suffering, and all of a sudden we just go through absolutely nothing? If Jesus suffered, then we have to partake. We are partakers that I may know Him. Come on, somebody, give me that scripture. I'm so glad that came back to me. I was thinking about this scripture earlier, and I didn't write it down. Help me, hurry up before I don't catch it, everybody, before it leaves my mind. Don't let that leave me. But hold on, what did I just say? It already left me. I quoted it. That I may know Him. Come on, give me that, somebody. Where's that at? That I may know Him. Find it, somebody. Help me out. That I may know Him in the what? In the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His. In other words, I want to know now, if it stopped right there in the power of His resurrection, I think most of us in here, we'd be all right. Now, that sounds good to me. Power, resurrection power sounds real good. But when we get to the fellowship of His suffering, oh my goodness, you mean to tell me I got to know? But how many people want to still know Him? You want to know Him that bad? You still want to know Him? All right. Now, it's almost like a marriage. You know, and some of us, when we stand up here and we say the vows, you know, the good times, you know, in health. I mean, if I just said that, but when I say in sickness and in health, you know, what's the rest of it? You know, I just did a marriage. What is it? For better. But when we get to the for worse part, a lot of us want to bounce when we're cut out on the Lord. All right. When we go through some things, amen. If it's just only resurrection power and the fellowship of His suffering, those things go hand in hand. They're together. But how many still want to know Him? I still say I do. Anybody here? I still say I do. Amen. All right, good. All right, let's keep on going here tonight. Where did I stop off at? I appreciate that, Elder White. Were you done speaking? I'm sorry I cut you off, but that just struck that chord in me. So if Jesus suffered, there's some suffering that we'll go through as well. Go ahead, you can finish. I'm sorry. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 4, and verse number 12. Verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. But we should rejoice that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, it ain't going to always be like that. Amen. When His glory shall be revealed, amen, ye may be glad also with His exceeding joy. All right. Now, if anybody has ever had somebody, you can understand this if you've had somebody who is stuck by your side when you didn't have anything. Now, all the folks that smile in your face when all of a sudden you've arrived at a certain place in life, and now you got a little money in the bank, you know, now things are going, you know, a little bit better for you all. Now people want to shake your hand. But when you was a nobody and you didn't have no money, you know, and you came in and you know, had a little smell about you, or, you know, or whatever, you just got off work and Lord have mercy, you was just struggling to make it and everybody wanted to avoid you and all these type of things. But yet you still had a friend, or maybe you had that wife, boy, who just took you on in and brought you some deodorant, told you to, you know, wash up and, you know, helped you out. She stuck by your side, you know. Although anybody, you know, if you had somebody who was there along with you through the suffering times, amen, you can understand this verse a little bit more. Amen. That takes some commitment to walk with somebody, not only when on the good times, but in the bad, but that I may know Him. That's how you get to know each other. Amen. Not just, you know, I can look back over, you know, I've been married 20 years, and I can tell you, you know, me and Micah, we know each other. And it's not just, and we've had some fellowship with each other through good times and through some times of suffering. And because of the things that we have gone through and endured together, we have a deeper relationship. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that the relationship deepens, amen, through not only the good times, but through the suffering times, amen. And we stick with each other, stuck by my side through those things, amen. And now, you know, I got a little bit more going for myself right now, praise the Lord. And I can't just cut her loose right now. That'd be wrong for me just be like, oh, okay, well, I got to go on that. Did y'all hear? I'm the pastor now. Bye, Micah. I done got your daddy's church. Bye. Wouldn't that be terrible? Be horrible. Amen. All right, let's keep on moving on for y'all. I think I'm really going to do that. We got to stick with each other. All right. But you stick together. Stick with the Lord in the good times. Stick with the Lord in the bad times. Stick with the Lord on the mountains. Stick with the Lord in the valleys. Stick to the Lord in triumph. Stick with the Lord in tragedy. Stick with the Lord when you're married. Stick with the Lord when it doesn't work out. When you're a widow or whatever else might happen. Stick with the Lord when you're feeling real strong and healthy and youthful and you got just a robust youth about you. Stick with the Lord in your old age. Stick with the Lord in the good seasons. Every season of life, stay with the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody give the Lord praise right there. That's a good place. Stay with the Lord. Amen. In verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you, you know, if you're going to suffer, now some of us suffering, you know, but it ain't always for the cause of Christ. Listen to what he says. Let me clarify this for a minute. I appreciate these next verses. But let none of you suffer as a what? Or as a? Now, if you're going to suffer, you know, make sure that you're suffering for Christ and not just suffering for something, you know, that you did. Or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. What's that mean to be a busybody in other men's matters? I appreciate that. Amen. Mind your business. Amen. Get out of other people's business. Amen. Stop being an expert in other folks' business. Amen. Sometimes we know too much. I praise God. Sometimes now, especially now, you know, as I sit in this seat, I thank God for the things I don't know. If, you know, praise God. I didn't even know nothing about that. I love to be able to say that. I didn't know nothing about that. You know, thank God. You know, you don't have to be privy to everybody else's busy. A busybody in other men's matters. If you're going to get busy doing something else other than being in other people's business. All right? You know, staring out your window all day long. Oh, she got on a green shirt today. Huh. I think she had that on last Tuesday night. Oh, Lord. Yeah. You know, that ain't the right way to be. All right, moving on. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that what? Judgment. Oh, that just keeps on coming around to me. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment, judgment day, judgment, judgment. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I like verse number 19. Y'all read verse 19. Read it just out loud so I can make sure I got it. Come on, read it for me. Wherefore? Wherefore, let me read it one more again. I'm sorry. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. All right, that's cool. That sounds like it's almost connected with my first John that I read originally. Let's read that in the translation, verse number 19, if somebody could read that for me. She could put it on the screen now. Okay, read that translation for me, everybody. So if you are suffering in a good manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. Y'all hear that? Keep on doing what, I'll take that too. Just keep on doing what is right. Entrust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. My God, how many people believe he's never going to fail you? All right, I don't know who in here might be going through something and all, but make sure that, you know, if you're suffering for the name of Christ, you know, if you're suffering, you've been doing the right thing. If you ain't been, you know, put your nose in other people's business, you ain't been, you know, just let's go through the list right now. I think sometimes on a Tuesday night, let's just pull over for a minute. And let's just consider our suffering. Now, there's various ones who might be suffering in this room for various reasons and going through things. But let's just do a little inventory right now. Let's just make sure that our suffering is not because we've been a murderer. Now, any murderers in here, don't raise your hand, please. Well, identify yourself if you're a murderer. So, Brother Rodney, make sure you pay attention now. Okay. All right, no murderers in here. Thieves? Any thieves in here? Oh, I saw Brianna Flint. She was just fanning. She's good. No thieves. Any evildoers in here? No, you don't raise your hand, but just kind of self-inventory, self-check. Any nosy people, busybody in other men's matters? All right, well, if you're suffering and it's not because of one of these reasons, then I think that verse number 19 will apply to you. You can go ahead and just trust God. He's your creator. He's going to work it out. You can trust God that somehow this type of suffering, if you're suffering for not one of those reasons, if you're suffering, you can just apply that to the same scripture we read in James number 1, that this is somehow working something out in me. It's developing strength. It's developing character. It's developing my endurance. And when I come out, I'm coming out better. My God, I'm coming out stronger. Amen? All right, let's keep on going here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm doing all right? All right, good. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're a little bit all over the place, but Lord, we're doing just trust God to just kind of marry these together. I hear you, Sister Angie. 1 Thessalonians 5, and let's start at verse number 12. All right, we there? All right, I'm going to read to you a little while, and then you all can catch up with me. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Don't be in here fussing and fighting and arguing and making my job harder. All right? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Then, okay, so the unruly folks, if we have some unruly people in here, sometimes we got to warn them. All right? And there can't be unruly people that show up at church. Anybody been a member of this church for some years, you've seen some unruly people from time to time come in here, and thank God that's why we got security team, deacons and things to handle that, and ushers and things, because some people can get out of order and unruly. Amen? Amen. It's still a good church, but sometimes that's what happens in churches. Amen? And anybody watching online, it happened to your church too. Amen? All right, that are unruly. And then what else does it say? Comfort the what? You mean to tell me it's feeble-minded people in church? All right, it can be. What does that mean to be feeble-minded? Anybody know can help us out? Feeble-minded? Weak? Weak-minded people? Sister Brown, yes, ma'am.
If somebody's feeble-minded, they're easily convinced to stray off the path that they should go in.
Yeah, 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 like just a young mind, immature, novice, don't know better, you know, yeah, feeble-minded, yeah. And then sometimes that mind could be fully developed, but just, you know, amen. All right. Then what else does it say? Support the. All right. So you mean tell me among us there'd be some weak people. And then what else does it say? To be patient toward. Hold on. Be patient towards some people. No. All men. So you mean to tell me when people are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. We got unruly, feeble-minded, and weak people. But then it goes on with all these people. Be patient. Amen. So in other words, don't hem them up so quick. Don't be so quick to throw them in the headlock, Brother Rodney. Calm down back there. We see you. I'm picking on you. You know, and seriously, you know, sometimes we got to just slow down with people, all right? See that none render evil for evil. Y'all hear that? Now, this is the verse that I want to know that there's times that we can suffer, amen, as Christians, but we want to make sure that when we suffer as Christians, that we don't get in our flesh and take our suffering and actually, you know, our suffering was for Christ, but then we fit into one of those categories I was talking about. Or we was a murderer or a thief, or because we were suffering, you know, we got in flesh. You know, start being a busybody or start being a murderer, you know, tearing down folks with our words and other things and murdering people's character and all those type of things. We want to be very, very careful. All right. Now, I kind of stretched that, but I want to make sure that I am making some sense here. All right. So see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. All right. Don't render evil for evil unto any man. Y'all hear that? So that means somebody's going to say something about you, but you don't got to say something back. Somebody might ping, but I don't mean you don't have to pong. Y'all hear that? A lot of times that's how you end the game. Ping, pong, ping, pong. Your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your greasy grandma. Ping, pong, ping, pop, pow, bing, bang. And then if somebody just stop fighting, somebody just go ahead and just drop the paddle, guess what? The game's over. And then the ball just ping, 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 and it's over. And you walk away, all right? But if you just keep on going back and forth, all right, we don't accomplish anything. All right, where is this found in again? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. See that no one render evil for evil. All right, now, which leads me, let's go back here to Acts chapter number 17 on tonight. I'm not promising you that just because you walk with God means you're not going to have no problems. I'm not promising you all, even the ones that you signed up to open up your home. I'm not promising you that everything is just, you know, going to work out. You might get an unruly person in there. Might, you know, open up your home, have a feeble-minded person. Might get a weak person in there. Shoot, might invite somebody in your house that's a busybody in other men's matters. All right. Some people come in your house. Ooh, Lord, look. Lord, when last time she dusted? Lord, you know. You know, I'm not promising you, you know, that you're not going to have no problems. Amen. But I promise you this. I'm telling you what, you suffering for the name of Jesus, you're going to be blessed. All right. Somehow, some way, God's going to bless you. All right. Acts chapter number 17. I should have been turning there myself. Give me a minute to turn there. All right. I want to read a little bit more of this. We started this on Sunday, but I really wanted to just kind of dwell on this a little bit on tonight. Acts 17, almost there. All right, let's go ahead and read on tonight. Now, when they had passed through and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. We got that one right. We got one out of three. All right. Where was a synagogue of the Jews? All right. And Paul, as his manner was, what did he do? Reason with them out of the scriptures. Y'all hear that? Now, Paul, he comes to Thessalonica. Did he come there with no trauma or no drama? Before he got there, he had already gone through some things. But you know what I love about him? He just kept on going. He didn't cower. He didn't stop. He didn't all of a sudden go to the church back in Antioch and say, you know what, I'm done going on these missionary journeys. It's a wrap for me. I got to turn in my ministerial license because I had a hard time when I was over in Philippi. You know what happened while I was over in Philippi? Some little crazy girl, this damsel, she was just demon-possessed and everything else. And next thing you know, I was just trying to help out. I was just doing good, and I cast out that demon, and next thing you know, they threw me down into a prison. Amen. Now, he didn't stop. He didn't stop preaching. He didn't stop praising God. What happened in Acts chapter number 16, if we remember? Come on. And at midnight, after they got done throwing Paul down in that prison for doing the right thing, he didn't just think it was over. He knew I'm suffering because of Christ, so I know he ain't just going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's still with me. He's going to bless me. And so what did they do? They kept on singing. They kept on praising God. They kept on praying, and they kept on having faith in God. And what happened? And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they sang and they prayed. What did they do? They and sang praises unto God. All right, we got to go back. Let me get this right. Acts chapter number 16. Where we at? Help me out. Acts 16. Who? Give me the verse. 25. All right. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's what they did. How many people still praying? All right, good. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners what? Heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. My God. And I love the rest of this. So I believe, if I remember this right, that they left out with some boldness. got thrown down in the prison, but by the time they left there, they left up out of there with some boldness. You know, isn't this the one where you're like, don't be just trying to put me away privately, you know? Go come and fetch me out of the prison. Hold on, look, go down to verse number 37, I think it is. But Paul said unto him, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Y'all hear the boldness in them? There's some boldness that we can have, my God. Hallelujah. You know, when it comes time, when we're going through trials and some trip, if we understand that we are suffering for the name of Jesus, we can have some boldness. We can just rest assured we know that God is with us, and somehow, some way, whatever I'm going through is going to make me better. I'm going to come out with a testimony. I'm going to come out to be able to stronger to help somebody else. I'm going to bring glory to God. Some type of way, glory is coming out of this. Anybody here really believe that tonight? All right, so I love that because Paul, he didn't stop. He's on this missionary journey. He done turned in his missionary card. He comes out of Philippi, and he goes on down to this next place. He moves on down the road, and now we see him popping up. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I believe, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. All right? So there they are, the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Come on, verse number 3, you read. All right, so he starts preaching to them. What is he preaching? Just about pie in the sky, trouble don't last always. You know, what is he preaching? He's preaching about Jesus. Y'all hear that? How many people in here know that we should start preaching out or talk about Jesus? Come on, I mean, we got to talk about Jesus. I think sometimes, you know, boy, we can hear everything but messages about Jesus. Anybody just still thankful for the blood of Jesus, for the gospel message? Does that excite you, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Anybody thankful for Jesus still and his precious shed blood? Anybody thankful because he redeemed you? You don't have to go. I'm not going to hell because of what he did, that he paid the price at Calvary for me. Come on, give God praise. I know some of us, all we want to hear is just, you know, oh, I'm going to get a new car next week. You know, trouble don't last always. Oh, but I'm so thankful that we can hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that. I mean, so that's what he's preaching. You know, he's preaching that. All right. And that's because somebody needs to hear that. Ooh, I mean, come on. What would it profit for us to gain the whole world and then not know Jesus and lose our soul? I mean, what would it matter? You know, if all we do up here is just preach about how you won't go through trials, there'll be no suffering, be no pain, you know, everything just going to work out just beautifully, you know, or you ain't going to never cry on this side, you know, and all these type of things. And then you never tell people the truth and preach Jesus to them. My God. I mean, we got to know that. All right. Moving on. And moving down here to verse number 4, I believe. And some of them believe. It's going to be some people that believe. When you get done preaching Jesus, somebody's going to believe. Everybody might not believe. And consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Look at that. I love how he shouts out the women here. You know, the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the women. You know, women been filling up churches for a long time. The chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not. Y'all hear that? Who didn't believe? What's wrong with them? I mean, couldn't let go of tradition. Couldn't let go of what was just so instilled in them. I mean, could never just receive Jesus. And I'm telling you, but they actually went on missionary journeys themselves, chasing behind Paul, trying to stomp out the message of grace, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, trying to stomp that message out because they just could not receive it. And then thought, and the interesting thing about it is, thought they were working for the Lord. Y'all hear that? Some of the people that do the most damage, hear me now, if you ain't heard nothing else, hear me tonight. Anybody tuning in online, hear me tonight. Come on. Some of the folks that do the most damage are the people who feel as if they're working for the Lord. I'm telling you. But check yourself. Make sure that you know, when you're working for the Lord, it's really you working for the Lord and not just working for self and what you think, you know, about the Lord. All right? All right. And, you know, and sometimes the Lord moved and he's ushering in a new covenant and they just could not let go. Couldn't let go of the old. All right, moving on. All right, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy took unto them certain, and listen to what they did. Don't get their homies on them. But took unto them certain what? Huh? Lewd fellows of the what? And gathered a company and set all the city on a, got the whole city on an uproar. Started a whole bunch of trouble. And assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Anybody want to have that type of testimony when you leave? He just turned the whole world upside down. I mean, in a good way. Now, there's some people out there right now turning the world upside down. I'm telling you, they just causing all kind of drama, all kinds of trouble. But wouldn't it be wonderful for somebody to say that about you, that you did so much damage to the enemy's kingdom, you just turned the world upside down. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, awesome testimony? I wonder if somebody here just wants to be a part of kingdom building. I wonder if somebody in here wants to tear the enemy's kingdom down. Let me hear you. Come on, somebody. Anybody in here, anybody so mad at what the enemy had done in your life that you want to do some damage in his kingdom? I mean, if you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at the devil. A whole lot of times we spend time fighting against flesh and blood, but if y'all would just get busy fighting against with them spirits and those principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, all those things that are working behind flesh and blood, hiding behind it. You're mad at a person, but you don't realize them imps that are working behind him. And if we would just get mad and fight on our knees in prayer, my God, hallelujah, we would be able to do some damage on the enemy's kingdom. My God, hallelujah. All right, check this out. Let's keep on going here. But what I love about this, so why were they mad at Jason? Why were they mad at him? He did what? He tried to keep, well, he took, now not him, the Jews did. But Jason, all he did was what? All he was simply a host. Y'all hear that? Who was Jason hosting? Who was he? Y'all, all right, maybe we need to go back and read because I got the whole class looking. Who was he hosting? Come on, go back up and read. It's an open book test, y'all. All you got to do is look down at your Bible right now instead of looking up at me. Who was Jason? He's a host. And who came to town? Paul and Silas, they come to town and they needed a host. Now, they're preaching in the synagogue, but they're not living there. All right. And so Jason was obviously helping them, hosting them. And then Paul and Silas, you know, they start preaching, and then all of a sudden the Jews come looking for Paul and Silas. They get ghosts. They up out of there. They only could preach and stay in the city of Thessalonica for 3 weeks. They preached for 3 Sabbath days. 3 weeks is all they did. So he opened up his home, obviously, and hosted them for about 3 whole weeks. And in 3 weeks' time, you don't know what, I'm telling you, you can do some damage. And it don't take a whole lot of time for you to be able to do some damage on the enemy's turf and make him upset. My God. I dare some of you all just start having a little Bible study with somebody. Woo, I'm telling you. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And what I love about the book of Acts, what I'm starting to notice here, a lot of the stuff, these major testimonies and things, it didn't always happen in the synagogue. It didn't always happen in the church. You know where it was happening? It was outside the four walls. Oh, I know that y'all are so mad at me. Some of you all, you know, we feel like we're moving the church out of his comfort zone, doing these little small groups and things and meeting in people's houses. But I don't know, you know, to tell you the truth, it's kind of moving me out of my comfort zone as the pastor. I know you all think that I just want to go, I'm just this little happy little young pastor that just want to do all these new things. I'm telling you this, sometimes the Lord will move on me to do certain things. And I think like, Lord, why can I let go of this? I don't know what the Lord is about to do in somebody's house, but I do know this, the Lord is going to work, amen, through this church, and we're going to start tearing the enemy's kingdom down, amen. And I don't know what he's about to do And some of you all, as you begin to meet together in other places, and some of you all, listen, I'm not saying it's not a heaven and hell type of issue if you didn't sign up. Please don't put that on me. Don't put that on me. I'm not some mean tyrant of a pastor. I understand. You know, seriously, if it moves me out of my comfort zone, I know it's going to move you out of your comfort zone. But sometimes, church, we need to be moved out of our comfort zone. We do. I mean, as we see the last days being ushered in, we cannot always just stay so comfortable sitting on these purple pews and teaching and preaching to the same folks week after week. We got to get busy working for the Lord. Amen. You got to start talking to people on your job. You might have to invite somebody over or come over to their house and actually do a home Bible study. Oh, home Bible study. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you realize the only Bible study that takes place, it don't have to be on Tuesday night here at Agape? Hello, somebody. Do you realize that you can take somebody out to McDonald's and sit down with them and then just begin to open up the Word of God? It don't even have to be in your house. My God, do you realize that it can happen in your car? All of a sudden, you begin just to talk. Anybody just talk to people? I love how Brother Rodney, I'm picking on him all night long, but that brother, he's a good brother for talking to people. He got a ministry, not in the pulpit, but he brought some sister to church, talking to that sister, and, you know, she's been coming. I praise God for that. How about we all get busy for the Lord? Talk to people. Smile at somebody. You got something that you can offer for God's service. Amen. If it's just a handshake or a friendly smile or a kind word, you don't know what a kind word while you're sitting over in Jiffy Lube getting your oil change can do for somebody or what it could possibly lead to. Amen. If you would just stop just sitting there, you know, and being afraid of people, talk to somebody. Invite them to church. You know, we done printed off all these cards. Take these cards around. You know, don't wait for friends and family day either. You know when it's friends and family day? Now, I'm not saying we won't have a designated friends and family day, but it's friends and family day around here every week. Oh, bring her. You can bring a friend to church every Sunday if you wanted to. Bring your family to church. Amen. All right. My God. Come on here. It can happen anywhere. And the beautiful thing about what Jason did, he's just the host. And I mean, he suffers. Oh, but if you know he's suffering for righteousness' sake and he's suffering, I mean, just think about his reward on the other side just for being a host, just for helping bringing somebody in who can help build God's kingdom. All right. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And what I love about it is that, you know, this brother, because of 3 weeks, him just being this host, allowing Paul and Silas to come in. Somebody go back up to verse number 1. Let me make sure that y'all got this on tonight. Tune in. Tune in tonight. Come on. Verse number 17, verse number 1. Where was he at? Where was he at? That's a pop quiz. I want somebody, let me get one of these, the young people that's sitting back there looking at me thinking I won't pick on them. One of Angel's kids right now. All right, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to answer this. You better go quick. You got to go to chapter number 17, verse number 1. Put your heads together real quick. 17 and 1. Where were Paul and Silas when this happened? All right. That's 3 cities there. I'm going to help you out. 17:1. They got it on the screen. Ooh, look at that. So you got 3 cities. All you got to do is be close to getting it right if you just guess one. It doesn't start with an A. I'll tell you that. So there's only one left. Uh-huh. There you go. Let's give him a hand. All right. Good job. Thessalonica, which kind of sounds like the book of Thessalonians. And did you know that if he didn't come down here for 3 weeks and preach the word of God in Thessalonica, we wouldn't have the book of Thessalonians to read. There would have been no church of Thessalonica. I mean, what I'm telling you is just from some little small act of being a host, this a great church could happen. Ooh, just because Bishop Burt, you know, opened up his basement and began to set up some chairs, now we here today. Don't you tell me what God can't do. Come on, we are a product of somebody opening up their home. Amen? All right. Amen. All right. Well, I don't feel comfortable having nobody in my house. Well, take it to McDonald's. Don't have them at your house. I'm just saying, get the word out some type of way. Acts chapter number 18. Hurry up and grab it. Acts 8. Let's go back to Acts 8. Hurry up. Come on here before everybody goes to sleep. Come on. Acts chapter number 8. Let's come on down here. All right, Ethiopian unit sitting up there trying to understand the word of God. Sitting up there, you know, just reading the word of God, but reading
the word of God with no type of understanding. What happened to the mic? Come on.
Hello, there we go. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Y'all there? I'm in verse number 26. Y'all there with me? All right. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Y'all hear that? So when the Holy Ghost begins to work on you, to talk to somebody, I'm telling you, you better listen. When I just said to you about being at Jiffy Lube, I was sitting at Jiffy Lube with somebody one time, and I'm telling you, I felt the Holy Ghost leading me, and I can go on and on and tell you about where that conversation led to. You know, I end up from one conversation at Jiffy Lube, I end up working with somebody years down the road that I had been a witness to, or started to be a witness to in Jiffy Lube. And that same individual I end up working with end up having a conversation on my prep period. I was able to lay out the whole plan of salvation. And then I end up finding out that person who I met at Jiffy Lube that ended up working with me got somebody that goes to this church. And then a couple years went down the road, she ended up being a teacher of somebody who belongs to this church right now. Don't you tell me God knows how to network far beyond what your wildest dream. He'll bring something. You don't know who that person. If you just talk to somebody, you don't know what that door will open. And you don't know. The beautiful thing about it is you taking in one person and talking to them. You don't know how that person might win 1,000 for the Lord. And all you did was just talk to them in Jiffy Lube. All you did was just come up there and you just talk to the Ethiopian eunuch while he's sitting there trying to understand the word of God. Elder White, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And I told her that I always told her that I would support you when God leads you. So they was going to another city in Greencastle, the Newcastle. But before they went, the Lord had told me some stuff. I don't know none of those people. I've seen people, but I don't know them per se.
Mm-hmm.
He told me when I get there, they're going to have a testimony service. And I want you to testify and tell them what I've done for you.
Come on.
I'm thinking it's me. He said, there's a lady, her name is Sandy. When you get down there, her name is Sandy. And she needs to be healed. I'm thinking that it's me. I don't want to go. So we get down there. I begin to pray quickly. I begin to pray. I got up. They said, anybody got testimony? I was the only one standing. The Lord said, I told you. I gave a testimony of what God has done for me. But in my mind, where's the Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
So process went on time to speed up. I'm in line. I was looking for someone named Sandy. Could have been anybody. So I asked the lady that was standing in line behind me. I said, do you know anybody named Sandy? She said, my name is Sandy. Girl, man, I could have fell over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God told me to pray for you. He said that she needed to be healed. She said, well, I've been having trouble with my throat and my chest.
Mm-hmm.
So God will set you up.
He will.
To what he said.
He will. Just allow, I'm telling you, stick with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that's what I have to do even as a pastor. There's sometimes I feel like, Lord, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to shake up everything right now. I'm just brand new to this. But when you feel like the Lord is leading you to do something, just stay with the Lord. You know, my mama told me today, boy, that's just as disorganized. I love you, mama. But, you know, y'all ain't bold enough to tell me that. Mama would just tell you like it is. Boy, I ain't signing up for nobody going over there. That's just a disorder. You got to tell me more about it first. And I'm like, well, mama, I got to know about it. I got to hear from the Lord. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. You know, seriously, all I can do is give you what the Lord has given me. And when the Lord give me more, I give you more. And when he give me more, I'll give you a little bit more. That's what I'm telling you. And I just watch. Sometimes I watch God just bringing things into focus. Right now, all I feel is it's just like, okay, let's just start signing up and let's start preparing, you know, and doing this. And then sometimes it ain't for me to always know. Sometimes the Holy Ghost, as long as he had the plan of what might happen, you don't know. And if I'm telling you, if one person got saved out of what we did, it would have been worth it. I'm telling you, I don't know how it can happen, but just to feel supported and to be able to bring people in. And as I'm reading this book of Acts, I'm telling you, it was things just happening all over the place. And it's not just limited to this one space, all right, or to one church, or to just the Lord can move at your job, in your car, at Burger King, in the drive-thru. Come on, anywhere. All right, let's read this. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go to war. We read that in verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So this wasn't just any ordinary eunuch. This eunuch was a noteworthy eunuch, all right, who had the charge of all her treasure, all right? So now, he did not lack materially at all. He was probably a person that was well-spoken of, all right? A person of authority, a person that was more distinguished, all right? But even though he didn't lack materially, he lacked spiritually. Amen? Don't be afraid to talk to your boss, or don't be afraid to talk to somebody who you feel is just, you know, you don't know. Come on, just because they might be, you know, you might be talking to somebody who's six figures, but just because they got a lot of money doesn't mean they have spiritual, they don't have real wealth. All right? So this person's reading, all right? Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. You see how he's listening to the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody, listen to him. When the Lord leads you to talk to somebody, let the Lord lead you. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should come guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Y'all see that? I mean, he's just coming over there, you know. Look how this is. I love how Philip is not just, condescending towards him, not just mean towards him. Well, you in there reading the Bible for it. You don't know nothing. You know, you old Ethiopian eunuch. I want to say that because I want everybody to know that as you are a witness and a light to somebody, it's so important that you don't do all the talking. And it's so important that you don't be condescending to other people. It's so important that you're not dogmatic towards somebody else. It's so important that you allow them to share with you. Just hold on. Time out, apostolic. Do you realize that you might be able to just learn something from somebody else? That maybe, just maybe, somebody else knows something about the Lord too. And then maybe, just maybe, if you would just let them share their faith with you, maybe you'd be able to share your faith with them. I'm telling you. When I was sitting in that Jiffy Lube, that lady was just as Catholic as she wanted to be. And I mean, to be honest with you, I was so impressed with her faith. I had never met somebody that had such a sincere faith. That was of the Catholic persuasion. I mean, I just hadn't met anybody, you know. And so as I began to listen to her, I'm not telling you that all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm just over, you know, and praying the rosary or anything. But at the same time, I allowed her to begin to talk to me and share her faith with me, you know. And I was able to even have a sincere appreciation that she had faith in God. And as I began to listen to her, guess what? Because I listened to her, now she was willing to listen to me. And some of us, if we can just have that spirit, you know, I mean, and get out of you. But in order to do that, you got to get out of flesh. I got one hand clap, but it's real good. I'm telling you, if I wish I can get you all to eat that up, I mean, telling you, you have to get out of flesh, because flesh just wants to, you know, just wants to be right. But flesh don't want to win no souls. Flesh just wants to win an argument. You know, and then flesh, what it'll do is just be mean, condescending, and all you'll do is just do more damage to that hungry soul and run them out of here. I'm telling you, but if you would just open up yourself, I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you, you got to be strong to do that, because a lot of us in here, you know, next thing you know, you over there just praying the rosary and all them type of things, and you've been persuaded by them. But if you know what you know, I mean, something about getting the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. Boy, when you really get saved and you really taste of this Holy Ghost thing, you know this is where it's at. I mean, when you really get it like that, I mean, anybody here, I'm convinced. I mean, come on. I mean, this is where it's at. Seriously. I mean, sometimes we see these churches and they have so many impressive things. I mean, I've been to some places. I've visited different churches before. I mean, the lights is fancy. Y'all know I like coffee. Got the coffee shop right out there. I mean, place smelling all good. I mean, you come in. I mean, the place just looked like it got money. I mean, and got a friendly usher team. I mean, come on. They even wearing twos in it. We got one stand up here. Just do it on the shirt. They got friendly little tags on and everything else. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you feel like you just paid a ticket to come to church, but ain't got no Holy Ghost nowhere. Oh, give me the Holy Ghost. I tell you, take me to a spirit-filled church. anything. I take a spirit-filled church. And y'all know I love a coffee shop, but I'm telling you what, I wouldn't trade no coffee shop in for no Holy Ghost. You can't give me enough Starbucks, my God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Anybody glad to go to a spirit-filled church? And I'm telling you, once you've tasted of this thing, you know this is where it's at. And you shouldn't be so easily convinced. I shouldn't have to worry about you as a pastor. I mean, being just led astray by every little wind of doctrine. But you know why? Because it's not just words on a page. You know this in experience. It's happened to you. My God. And so even if you didn't have nothing but two scriptures to rub together, you at least got a testimony of what God did for you that should anchor you in this thing. Is anybody in here anchored in the Lord? Anchored in the Holy Ghost. So I'm not worried about you having to patrol behind you, because I know you got it in experience. You got it in truth. My God. And you can, I'm telling you, you might not feel like you know a whole lot, but I'm telling you, some of you all, you can teach. I'm telling you, you can persuade somebody. You might just have a few scriptures and a strong testimony and the sincerity of those things combined together and the Lord operating. And you, some of you all, you don't know what you know until you get in that situation. You begin to open up your mouth. Anybody begin to witness to somebody before and you didn't even know you knew that? And next thing you know, with the power of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden the word began to just flow up out of you. And you look back and you say, my Lord, I didn't even know that that was just downloaded down in my heart. And God has used me and allowed me to give this person exactly what they need. God has used you, and you take authority in that particular situation. I mean, you feel like you're just going to get ran over by this person's wisdom. Next thing you know, boy, you standing there just spewing out the word of God. You know, it's of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, thank God for the Holy Ghost, somebody. Now, if you don't got no Holy Ghost, don't you try to go out there and be doing no home Bible study. Don't you be trying to be a host if you ain't got no Holy Ghost. Don't try to climb up in the wagon with the Ethiopian eunuch. Next thing you know, y'all be over there down the road somewhere over at Queen Candace's house or something. I know. But if you got the Holy Ghost, my God, we ain't got to worry about you. I think you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Now, one thing I do worry about with new converts, sometimes we have a lot of zeal, but we don't have the wisdom coupled along with it. Y'all hear that? Amen. Sometimes zeal is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But when you couple that thing with some wisdom, ooh, God, you're going to be a bad boy for the Lord. I'm telling you. All right, let's keep on going on in here where we leave off. Now, let's see what happened to Philip, and then I got to get up out of here. We got about 5 more minutes here, and let's see what happened to this Ethiopian eunuch. Anybody know where I stopped? Sister Shine's not here to help me out. She's usually my little bookmark, Elder Mike's wife. All right, where do we leave off? All right, let's see. Maybe I'll choose 80, meeny, miny, 30, maybe 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah. I feel like I read that. Let's maybe go to verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. So I can imagine him just reading the book of Isaiah, not understanding it. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Who did he preach, y'all? He didn't just get up and climb in the wagon and say, you know what, I know Candace doing you wrong. You know, trouble ain't going to last always. You know, no, he started preaching Jesus. And I know sometimes I love to hear that. You know, boy, when Sister Maids got up and said, this too shall pass, that took me in too. You know, I love that type of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, let's keep on preaching Jesus. Hello, somebody. Let's keep on preaching Jesus. Amen. Because if you're in Jesus and you have that deep down in you, even when the trouble's there and the trouble ain't passed over, you still got an anchor in your soul. My God. All right. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. Look at that. He tells, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I love that. I love that. You know, he made his own altar call. There's some water here. What's the problem? What's the problem? You know, come on, I ain't too good to get in that water. I might be, you know, Candace's boy, but I ain't too good to get in that water. And Philip said, if thou, now this is the requirement. Now check this out. Come on here, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And we ought to, you know, sometimes we skip that prerequisite. Don't forget that. So many times we're so, as apostolics, I feel like that we want to just that prove that, you know, okay, we, you know, y'all, you know, talking about faith only and faith alone and all these type of things, you know, and all these things. But I'm telling you what, you got to believe. If you don't believe, all you're going to do is go down, what they say, a dry devil and come up a wet devil. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anybody believe that? Woo, I believe that Jesus Christ. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, my Lord, that eunuch had a testimony. And when he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Y'all hear that? He just preaching all over the place. Oh, I wish I could get a church like that. Would you would just, I'm telling you, it all just spew out of you. I'm telling you, people ought to some type of way get wind to the fact that you are Christian. Woo, you mean, come on now, everybody else coming out of the closet and doing thing else and everything else. Come on, don't be no closeted type of Christian. This thing ought to just be, I mean, you ought to just smell like church. I mean, you could tell some people, you know, you come in here smelling like outside. Some of y'all ought to go to church or go to work on Monday and you ought to be like, ooh, you smell like church. I mean, I'm not, you know, just spiritually speaking, they ought to just, I'm not telling you not to take a shower, wash up before you go to work. But what I'm telling you is it ought to be just something in your character that somebody takes notice that you've been with Jesus. Ooh, I mean, something different about you. You've been washed in the blood. I can tell. You don't conduct yourself like everybody else. You know, I mean, sometimes you can be talking about things, and I mean, it just kind of come out of you. You know, and the way that you react to situations. You know, I had one teacher, you always talking about prayer. I didn't even realize. They took it as a compliment. I was just telling her to pray about things. And I mean, you didn't. But those little hints and traces, it's just like those little gems. You don't even realize that you're dropping them along the way as you walk through the grocery store, as you know, interact with the UPS guy or whatever. You don't know. And you never know when it's going to be this opportunity. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Stop for a second. We need to start praying for opportunities to be a witness and a light. I'm telling you. Pray for opportunity. We're going to do that right now. Come on, stand with me as we close out. You know, you praying for everything else. Some of you pray for a job. I dare you start praying for opportunity to be a light and a witness. Now, and don't always expect it to happen here. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as a church, even right now, we've heard the word on today that has challenged us, God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we have seen what you did, Lord God. Oh, Father, we bless your name even right now, God. We thank you for what you did in the house of Jason. Well, we thank you, Lord God, that you used Lord Paul and Silas, Lord, in Philippi and Thessalonica, Lord God. And Lord, we saw, Lord God, in just 3 weeks, Lord God, a whole church got planted, Lord. Father, we see what you did through Bishop Burt, even at Agape, God. I tell you, Lord God, we thank you and praise your name, Lord God, for the word, Lord God, in Acts, Lord, about the Ethiopian eunuch, God, and how you used Philip, Lord. And now, Lord God, in 2023, on this day in October, God, we pray that you would give us opportunities to be a light and a witness to somebody. I pray, God, that you would even lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would even just allow the networking to take place so that we would be able to open up or have an opportunity, God, to open up the word of God and explain it to somebody else, God. Perhaps to do a home Bible study, Lord. Perhaps, Lord God, to get in the car with somebody and begin to tell them about Jesus, God. Perhaps, Lord God, even in the grocery store, we'd be able to take somebody to the side, Lord God, and to be able to explain the word more perfectly to him, Lord. Perhaps on the parking lot, Lord, or even in this place, Lord God, it would be a perfect opportunity for us, Lord God, to be able to shed more light on your word. I pray you would use us for your glory, God. Lord, it's more than just building up Agape, but this is about building your kingdom, God. Father, I want this church, Lord God, to build your kingdom up and to tear Satan's kingdom down, Father. Lord, we make ourselves available to you. Come on, tell somebody, tell the Lord right now, Lord, I'm willing, God. I'll be a light, Lord. Empower me. Lord, you've already given so many of us the power of the Holy Ghost, God, to be a witness and a light. We receive it. We accept it. We believe it. We know we've been empowered. Lord, and help us to use this power. Lord God, what use would it be for us just to have all this power to ourselves? Allow it, Lord God, to be instrumental, Lord, in winning somebody for you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. We believe it, God. Lord, I'm expecting a testimony, Lord. Oh, yes, God. I'm expecting even before the week's out, Lord, for somebody to come in here, Lord, and be able to be a witness to somebody, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, give God praise for an open door. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's take about just 15 seconds and just begin to praise God. Thank you, Lord, for an open door, Lord, to be a light, to be a witness. Lord, I praise you for so many other things, Lord. I've shouted because you paid bills, Lord. I've shouted because you've healed bodies. But this time, Lord, I'm praising you because you've used me for kingdom building. I'm praising you because you've used what little bitty things I've had. My little bit of knowledge, Lord. My little bitty house. My little bitty time or effort, Lord God. My little bitty talent, Lord, for your kingdom building. What an honor it is, Lord, to be used of you. Who am I, God, that I could be used for you? We love you today. Anybody love him on tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, now here's what I want you to do. Just look at somebody and tell them, expect something to happen this week. Now you get ready. I don't know if you need that. Amen. Get ready now. So yeah, watch out. Brother Toes, watch out. All right, Brother Brandon, watch out. All right, Isaiah, you're going to be at school. All right, Sister Tiffany, watch out now. Sister Adrian, Brother Mike be at UPS. Sister Michelle, I don't know. Brother John over there, Sister Joanne. I don't know, Sister Donna. I don't know. All right. All right. All right. All right. Sister Judy, I don't know. You be over at CVS. Somebody come walking in. All right. Here you go, Sister Sierra. Sister Aisha, Brother Kendall. Hey, y'all better get ready. All right. All Angels kids, Brother Larry kids. Y'all be walking around school, wherever y'all go. I don't know. Next thing you know, some little dude, little girl. Y'all be able to tell them all about Jesus. Oh, and then invite them to church, too, after you get done. All right, Davon, just sitting over there. Watch out. Boy, you will be a witness. I'm telling you, it's somebody you can win. Somebody you can. When God needs a tool, he knows exactly the right tool to pick up at the right time. If he need a hammer, he ain't going to get a wrench. He going to get you. He knows exactly which one of you to use at a particular time. Amen. All right, let's let the officials come. I feel Jesus in here. I might preach a whole another half hour. Come on up here. Hurry up. Save the day. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. I thought you was praising. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I was not going to say this, but I wanted to send confirmation, and this is all glory to God, and just a couple seconds. I remember when my husband and I, we were buying our house, we went to look at this, the house that we're in now, and as I was saying it, it's like a little room, but it's an attic. So I was standing upstairs, and I saw people, the Lord gave me a vision of people sitting in chairs, it was for the glory of God. So I saw that, and I knew that was the house we were supposed to be in. So my husband and I talked, of course. We're in the house now. And so I remember the Lord laying it on both of our hearts. And I'm saying this just for confirmation for what you said. And for having us do for anybody that feels like, you know, what can I offer? We don't have the biggest house or anything like that, but the Lord laid it on our hearts it was called Worship 101, where we just had some people we sent to invite. And so people came, but before we did that, the Lord impressed it so heavily on our hearts, we felt like we had to open up our home to people. And so before we did that, we wanted to make sure that it was the Lord. And there were some people here that came, so I have witnesses as well. But I went in and I spoke to Bishop about it because we wanted to go through things the right way.
That's right.
And I remember talking to him about it, and he, really to my surprise, he loved the idea. He said, I wish more of us could do that. He said, I loved it. And he started talking about the same thing that you're talking about, how the apostles, you know, we're doing that, going from house to house. And so he said the same thing, and this was years ago. And so I remember the Lord leading us to do that. And we had a whole weekend. Somebody did something. We had an all-night prayer, and then we had, it wasn't a service that we made sure the people knew this. We not opened the church, but this is something for us to open up and get closer to God. And the Lord just came by so beautifully. We didn't have no message preach or anything like that, but the Lord just came by so beautifully. And I really wanted to just say that just for confirmation for the man of God, because this was years ago that the Lord had laid this on our hearts, and I'm sure maybe some other ones that maybe just didn't know, you know, is this really God? But I know this is confirmation for us to do this, because people will come. Mm-hmm. We've had family members that come. They don't come to this church, but they'll come to a house.
show
and people are waiting for somebody to just maybe, because everybody invites somebody to church, but can you invite somebody to your home and love on them and share a meal with them and share the word of God with them? You never know what God can do in your home. And I stand with you, Pastor, because the Lord said the same.
I appreciate it, sister. I appreciate it. Amen. As we prepare for the offering, you know, tonight, we're going to pray over it on tonight. You know, I understand. Listen, I'm not such a novice. I know I'm new, but I'm not such a novice that I don't understand what things that what could happen, you know. And, you know, some people tell, oh, you know, they're going next year, you know, you're going to have about 10, 20 agapes. They're going to have little agapes everywhere. They're going to just start little churches in the house and going to steal all your members. You know, but you know what? If I really am going to get that worried about it and things like that, and next thing you know, I've been done. I can try to protect this place so much that I can stifle the growth of this church. You know, and I really believe, I'm telling you what, I believe the Lord can grow this place, can grow, and more than just growing this place, grow, ultimately grow his kingdom is what it's about. I'm going to hold your offering up. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. I thank you.